you guys just, if you knew the word that Father Don just spoke to me and how, like, so on point it was for what God has given me to say today. And what I'm going to talk about today, really, it's not usually the way the Lord gives me things, but I feel like that it is what God has put on my heart to say. And it's talking about our walk with God, our Christian walk, however you want to say it, and the Lord just kind of gave me a word about that. And it's going to be in symbols. God gave me it in a symbolic form, like almost like a metaphor or something like that, similar to a metaphor or an allegory. But the Lord showed me about how our walk with the Lord, you know, if you ever, you know, sometimes today, I mean, we all have GPSs. I don't know what people do without those. And I remember maps and all that. And I know Don has to use some maps sometimes when he's out in different places. But, you know, have you ever been on a street, you know, and you're on the same street, exact same street, and you're going in the same exact direction, but the street changes names. You know, like it's like you'll be looking even at your GPS, or you're looking at the street signs, and you're on a road, and I just remember from being a kid and living down close to 3rd Avenue North, but if you get on 3rd Avenue North and you head west, it changes, and it becomes Bessemer Superhighway, and then if you keep going on, it's Highway 11, and, you know, it just changes, but it's the same road, and this is kind of what the Lord showed to me as far as our Christian walk, that we have this walk, and some of us, you know, it happens at different times. Some of us go faster on our walk, and some of us just kind of stay where we are, and then sometimes we even turn around. But so the Lord kind of gave this to me, and it's about in our walk that we're either convinced, and then we're converted, and then we can be committed. But it's still the same walk. And so I kind of gave these things names. So convinced, I call it Convinced Boulevard, because it's wide. It's a big, I don't know, you know, if you've ever been in like a really big city, beautiful city. It's this big, beautiful boulevard. It's got like probably two or three lanes on one side, two or three on the other, a big section in the middle, people strolling up and down, trees everywhere. It's a boulevard is big. It's for a lot of people. And this part of our Christian life is, when we're convinced, we're just convinced that something is true. We're believers. And this is all about being, this is about believers. People that are convinced believe that something is true. If you're satisfied that something is true or correct, you don't need any more proof. You're convinced of it. You believe it. A lot of Christians are in that place. And being in that place of just believing and just being convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Jesus Christ is the Lord and the Savior of the world, a lot of people are convinced of that. And some of those people see God working in different ways in their life. And Mark 9:38, John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. He wasn't doing it the same way we do. He wasn't, you know, as committed as we were. You know, they were doing kind of their own thing, but we wanted to stop him." And Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one does a mighty work in my name, who does a mighty work in my name, will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us." So we see people sometimes, just they're just people that they're just, they'll say, you know what, I believe in Jesus. I've seen Jesus work in my life. Jesus is, you know, I believe. I go to church sometimes. And, you know, there's a lot of people like that. Maybe you're convinced, maybe you were convinced that Jesus is who he says he is because your parents taught you when you were a little kid. And you believed him because you believed your parents. Your parents said it, probably true. You just got convinced and you go to church. You believe in Jesus. Maybe you came to church as a child or even later in life, you just found out in your church, Sunday school or something, you know, you just found out the people you trusted at church, they're Christians. They told you who Jesus was and you go, yeah, okay, I believe that. I'm convinced of it. I don't need any more proof. I just believe it. Maybe it's because as you got a little older, all your friends in your school, they believed in Jesus. They go to church. So you go, well, yeah, they believe it. I like them. I like those friends. They're pretty nice people. They do good things. So I'm convinced. It's Convinced Boulevard. It's huge. There are a lot of people on it. And it's not like this road I'm talking about, it's not a road to Jesus. Jesus is always on the road with us, no matter what the name of it is. Now, I'll get to the other names of this road in a moment. But, you know, anytime you're on a road or a street or a boulevard, you have cross streets, intersections, where there are other streets. But on this road, this road that God made for us to walk on, it's straight, Don. It's straight. And sometimes we go slow on the road. Sometimes we even just kind of stop and we're just kind of, okay, we're right where we are. Sometimes we even turn around, but we're still on the same road. But what's dangerous is when we go and we turn off of the road because there are cross streets. And the cross streets, some of them that you meet, that you come upon on Convinced Boulevard, some of those cross streets are, one of them is Rebellion Street. You know, we talk a lot about rebellious teenagers, not our teenagers, but we talk about rebellious teenagers. But you know, you can be rebellious before you're a teenager. You know? And so sometimes it's Rebellion Street, and we get off on Rebellion Street because, you know, you look over at that street and you go, boy, there all those people are having fun. Look at them. They're partying all the time. Everything looks great. They have no problems. It's just everything is great and cool. And so Rebellion Street, just instead of believing what our parents taught us, what we learned from our parents, we somehow get to this place on Rebellion Street, where we go, you know what? I know my parents love me. I know they want what's best for me. But I know they're not as smart as me. That's Rebellion Street. So it doesn't matter that it's Christianity that you've or Jesus that you've been convinced was true because your parents. It doesn't matter. You don't believe anything they say. Everything you just want to, you just, if they believe it, you don't want to believe it. That's Rebellion Street. And that's not a place where you want to get off of Convinced Boulevard. Yeah, does it make any sense to you guys? I know it's a little juvenile, but it made sense to me. So Rebellion Street is a cross street. You don't want to get off there. Another street you may cross after you've been convinced. You got it, especially it's in your head. You believe it. You believe in Jesus. It's what I call Crisis Avenue. And especially Church Crisis Avenue. Because that's something that can throw you off too. You may be convinced that Jesus, that what you've heard and been taught about Jesus is true. But then there's some crisis that happens in your church. Maybe a Sunday school teacher falls, or the pastor falls, or some major crisis happens in the church and people, you know, get all discouraged about things. And you go, even though you're convinced, you just go, you know what, I just don't know if I want to go any further. I don't want to go any further down the boulevard. I don't know. I'm just going to get off right here and be discouraged, be hurt, be angry, and not go on that straight road. The next time the church, this road, this street changes names, I call it Converted Avenue. It's that place, like to be converted means a change in character or form or function, a physical transformation from one material or state to another. Literally like the conversion of coal, water, and air into nylon. It's conversion. It's where something more happens. It's not just in our head. Something more happens. There's a conversion. We become a new creature. And this is this avenue. It goes from a boulevard to an avenue. It's still a nice street. It's still a good place to walk. But you know, a lot of people just stay back on the boulevard, and they never continue to walk onto the avenue of conversion, that place where your life changes, where you literally are changed, transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. This is where we've yielded. God has done something in us by revelation. You know, by revelation, something where God, where we're convinced. We've already been convinced. You know, when I was like converted, when I had a real experience with the Lord, I would have told you the day before. I was convinced. I believed in Jesus. I prayed. But then something happened. Now this can happen. It can happen. You can get to this converted avenue. You can get there. Some people get there really fast. Some people it takes different. It's always different. You know, some people drive fast cars, and some people drive Porsches and really fast sports cars and Lamborghinis. I know a lot of you drive those, and you know you get there faster. Some of us get faster to this place faster than others, but it's a place where God's Spirit has literally transformed our lives. Like in Romans 12:2, and do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well and pleasing and perfect. This is a great place for you to be, for all of us to be, but it's not as big, and there's not as many that say, maybe call Jesus Lord or believe in Jesus. There's not as many. It's a little smaller group that say that understand that they have been transformed into a new creature. They've become a new creature. So it's kind of like it's not quite as comfortable as it was back when the boulevard was really big and wide and everybody was there, and so it's not quite that comfortable. It's a little less comfortable. There's not quite as many people there to encourage and everything there. But you know what? It's the same road. It's the same road. But it also has cross streets, places where you can get off. Anger Drive. You know, you may be born again. Boy, you may be Spirit-filled. You know, you may just have this great relationship with the Lord. But if your life If you turn off on anger drive and you're angry at everything and everybody, everything that goes on, you don't like this, you don't like that, boy, that'll set you back. You'll just either stay there, right in that one place where you were, and never go forward on the road, or you'll even get off the road totally on the anger drive. And then you could get off on bitterness road. Boy, that's a place where even the best of us, you know, let bitterness take a root in our heart and our spirit and keep us from moving forward, keep us from continuing on the road, on our walk with the Lord. And you know, Jesus doesn't, he'll go with you to bitterness road. He'll go with you down anger drive because he says he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll be there with you. But all the time, his heart is going, let's get back on the road. Let's get back on the straight road. And then one of the streets here that can really hurt you, even if you have this great experience in relationship with the Lord, is Pride Street. Oh, hey man, I am born again. I've been delivered from this, whatever, drugs, lust. I've been delivered. I love Jesus. I sing songs at church when I go. I'm really something. I've just achieved. I've gotten there. Pride. Pride Street. That's a bad one, and that's a long street. And it'll take you totally off the road, off of the straight, off of the road. And then there's this last name where you started out in the city and then it turned into this avenue and you keep going, you're walking, you keep going or riding in your Lamborghini or whatever you're doing, Volkswagen Beetle or however, Volkswagen Beetle. You know, and then you get, and you're out and all of a sudden you're way out in the country and then maybe you're way up in the mountain and all of a sudden you're on one of those places where Father Don goes. You know, those roads, dirt road, same road, hadn't changed. You hadn't even made a turn. Same place, same road. I call it committed road. It's where you're totally committed to the Lord. You don't have to have anybody else around you. You wouldn't care if nobody came to church on Sunday. You wouldn't care if we didn't even have any music on Sunday. You wouldn't care nothing. There's nothing in the world. You're so committed to Jesus, there's nothing that'll hold you back. Sometimes with the bishop. And I think actually on Converted Avenue and here on this committed dirt road, I think that's where the bishop call lovesick followers. You know, where we're just committed. Now I'm going to tell you something. Like I said, I stay on the road, but sometimes I'm going the wrong way. I don't want to turn off and get off the road, but I'll slow down or stop. And I can't tell you that I'm always on committed road where it's really darker and where really the only light on that road is you. The only way you get your encouragement is from your own relationship with God. It's so strong. It's like Paul in that dungeon, you know, where there was nobody there to encourage him. And I don't, you know, we read about him being in that dungeon and, you know, we just think, those are a few words, but, you know, what if somebody tried to really describe what a dungeon must have been like in those days? And yet, he praised the Lord. yet he sang to the Lord. That's that kind, that's this place where you're out there, and man, you know, it doesn't matter what the world looks like. It doesn't matter how many holes or how many potholes are on that road. It doesn't matter that it's really dark there at night. You know so strongly in your heart that Jesus is there with you and you're on the way. And you know what else happens there? He knows how much you love him. It's being committed means it's like if you jump out of an airplane. Once you jump, man, you're gone. It's over. There's no turning back. You're out. You're all the way with Jesus. If you're committed, you're abandoned to him. You have put all of your trust in him. You believe everything he says. You believe that he can be trusted. You know, that's it, because, you know, like I said, if you go back to being on Convince Boulevard, which sometimes I'm there, that's where I am. Sometimes I get moved forward to where I'm supposed to be. But, you know, when we're in some of those places, we just don't trust him for everything. We don't trust him with our family. On Committed Road, you trust him with everything. You trust him with your family. You trust him with your finances. You believe that if you give, God will give unto you. You believe it. You believe that God will take care of and protect your family. You trust him with your life. With your life. But it's the same road. And Jesus is on this same road with all of us. Whether we're just at that place where we're convinced, we believe. People are always saying, you know, you think somebody's in so-and-so's in heaven? You think they're saved? How do I know? If they say they believe in Jesus, how do I know? Well, you know, what if they've done this? Do you believe Hitler's saved? I don't know. I wasn't there in his last breath. He may have gotten convinced. I don't know. I don't ever say that. How would I know who's in heaven, who's not? Bible makes it pretty clear. Believe on him. Believe on him. Speak it with your mouth. Confess it with your mouth. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. So I don't know, but this place of commitment, this is the place where that Jesus was talking about in Luke 14:15. He said, when one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone, listen, who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. That means blessed is everyone who's at the banquet table, because when bread is mentioned in the Bible, it's about life. It's a symbol of life. It's a symbol of life, abundant life with the Lord. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a field. I must go out and see it. Please, excuse me. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to examine them. Please, excuse me. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done. And still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Now, I don't believe that means that they weren't saved. I believe it meant they just didn't get to go to this great place of commitment. This narrow road And that's what the Bible says about it, Matthew 7:14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And the narrow road on committed road, not that many people. It's not all crowded, and you know what? It's got a lot of potholes, but also, you know what's there? Are the poor, the broken, the hurting. And you know what? Who's the light to them? You are. This is that place where Jesus took, he just said, go out to the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in. That's where you're going to find them. See, back on Convince Boulevard, everybody just enjoying that. And sometimes when we're even at that place of being converted, but we're converted, but we really are not really, you know, it's still more about us than it is about the others. It's more about us than it is about the poor and the broken and the hurting, the lost and the lonely. But on that committed road, man, that's where you find them. And you know what? That's where their great joy is with those people and being the light to those people. There are cross streets there, even in that place, where you're so, you know, you've just, everything about your whole life is about Jesus Christ. Everything. I mean, everything. You know, when you have to wash the dishes at home, you call yourself a Christian dishwasher. When if you're going to the park, you're a Christian, or if you're a hiker like Don, he's a Christian hiker, whatever him and Arden do. I don't know what they do out there, but they're Christians. Everything we do is about our Christian life. Doesn't mean we go around telling everybody that, but it's just, that's what it means to be there. But even there are cross streets. Tragedy Road. The most committed God, Jesus-loving Christian in the world can have a tragedy in their life, and it can be a detour, especially the loss of a child. There's no tragedy worse than losing your own child, and it can paralyze you. I've seen it over and over. You come to a place where you're at Tragedy Road, and boy, that tragedy comes, and you got to make a choice. You got to make a decision. I'm going to stay where I am, because if you turn down that road and you let that tragedy overtake your life, it can end. It can end your life. And I've seen that over and over. Another really bad place, another really tough little road to turn off of there is Prayerless Boulevard, where your prayer life is just gone. You've made it. You're there, you love God, you're committed to everything He desires for you, but you stop praying. You stop your communication, your relationship with the Lord. It's a bad place to go. And then there's this one dangerous, dangerous place for even the most committed Christian to be distracted. And I call that one Temptation Circle. Because you'll never stop being tempted, no matter what. And if you fall into that temptation, and I call it, I think it's aptly named Temptation Circle. Because once you get there, man, you may just go around and around and around with that temptation. If you give in to that temptation, it can be anything or everything. Doesn't mean you can't get back on the road if you fall. Because thank God, Jesus is there. He'll go down Temptation Circle with you. He'll get you back to the road when you depend on Him. You know, we talk about, I'm closing here. I'm going to talk just speak a moment about something that probably Sarah and others may not want me to say anything about. But, you know, we talk about millennials today. And millennials are people born mainly, basically from the early 80s to the early 2000s. There have been a lot of surveys and research done on millennials. One of them by Pew, they characterize their own cohorts as being self-absorbed And this is a quote from one of the millennials in that survey. Trying to live with somebody else and putting their needs first is more difficult when you have been raised to put yourself first. It's more difficult to try to put someone else's needs first when you've always been raised to put yourself first. You know, we hear all the time, you can turn on almost any TV show, you can listen to almost any preacher, including myself. We're going to tell you all the time how much God loves you. And it's true. There's no doubt how much God loves you. There's no doubt that His love for you is just so overwhelming that it'll overtake your whole spirit. His love for you will take you all the way down this straight road. But you know what? We don't hear about how much He desires for us to love Him. And that's the word I have for us today. That God not only wants us to know how much He loves us, but He wants us to know that He really wants us to love Him, to desire Him, to be so in love with Him that our whole life is abandoned to Him. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I pray that for all of us, that we'll just kind of examine, where are we on the road? You know, which places are coming up that we could get distracted and turn off of? What are things in our life that are causing us to not move forward on that straight road? So I pray that'll be part of our prayers. We got a lot of things to pray about today. But that's something I encourage you to pray about, who you are and where you are with your walk with the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always.